Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I often wonder how many people are listening. We never know the answer to that question. We do have a network of stations now, approximately 15 different stations across the country. And we added a station back in December, WSAT in Salisbury, North Carolina. I'd like to hear from some of our friends who listen to the program there in Salisbury. Let us know you hear the program, and if you can, Would you help keep this program on your station there in Salisbury, North Carolina, WSAT? And I want to thank all who have sent letters of support, both prayer support as well as financial support. Thank you so much for doing that. We are listener-supported, faith-based ministry, and without your help, we could not be on the radio. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Well, I am in revival meetings this first weekend of March. I'm in Rockville, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene. That revival will close this weekend, March the 2nd, and then be traveling up to Sterling Heights, Michigan, to Hope Crossing Church of God. That's March 7 to 9. Then March 16, I'll be in Kurtz, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene. That's Sunday morning only. And then March the 23rd, I'll be traveling over to Orleans, Indiana, about an hour and a half away from Columbus, where we live. That's March 23rd at the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans. And then finish out the month of March, March 28 to 30, in Harrison, Ohio, at the Church of the Nazarene. So please pray for us. It will mean so much. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our listening audience today, for those who faithfully listen, those who might just happen on the program. I pray for that person that might be physically suffering. I pray that you would touch them today, be very close to them. I pray for those that might be discouraged, those who are sin sick. I pray for them as well. I pray that the sermon we're sharing today about being a part of the kingdom of God and all that that means will minister and challenge us to make certain and sure that we've made Jesus not only Savior, but Lord of our lives. Bless the remaining part of the program. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to us, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201.
To thee. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the latter part of that particular chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus goes on and he says this to those who are listening to him. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's no question about it this evening, my friend. The teachings of Jesus Christ that he gave to his disciples was critical. They had to get what he was saying. We have mistakenly called that passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7 the Sermon on the Mount, when in actuality it was the teaching on the Mount. And if you study it closely, you will discover that this was not the teaching to the greater multitude, at least not yet. It was a teaching to a select group of people. We don't know how many disciples he called to himself on that mountainside that morning after he had prayed all night. But out of that group, however many there were, he selected 12. And he said, you're going to be my apostles. And they were going to be given the task of taking the kingdom message to the world. You have to go over to Luke chapter 6 to see Jesus deliver the Sermon on the Mount. As a matter of fact, Luke records it like this. It says that he came down from the mountain to a level place. And there were people, other disciples, it says, and other people from various cities around that area of Judea who had come out to hear him, to be healed. And it says that he came down from the mountain to a level place. And when you read Luke's account of this, you would discover that he hits the high points of what he taught those disciples in Matthew chapter 6. He's teaching them the face of the kingdom. In other words, you've got to get this, gentlemen. You've got to get what I'm telling you, because it's going to be the line of demarcation. What you tell these people is going to make a difference in where they spend eternity. I know for years we have been encouraged to reach the lost for Jesus, and that's a good thing. And in so doing, we've told them, read the Gospel of John. And that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. But if all we had was Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, that would be all that we need to know the heart of the kingdom of God as Jesus taught it to these apostles that were going to go out and propagate his kingdom. The late Tony Campolo, who just recently passed away, he and another young man by the name of Shane Clyburn wrote a book titled Red Letter Christians. And he made the observation, he said, what would we be if we truly lived out the red letters, if you have a red letter edition of the Bible? If we read them and truly fleshed them out in our everyday living. I mean, when you begin to read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he covers so much. I mean, he talks about the blessed ones. He talks about people relationships. He talks about prayer. He talks about giving to the needy. He talks about priorities in our lives. And then right in the heart of teaching these apostles, before he ever preached to the greater multitude, he gives us a prayer model. I call it the glue that makes all of it stick together. Notice what he says. It's a foundational proposition that I present to you tonight. And I will tell you that if this principle that is found right in the heart of this great teaching on the Mount, if this principle is not in place in your life and in my life, then no part of the teaching on the Mount by Jesus is truly functioning in your life. We don't have time to detail out this teaching on the Mount. But we're going to talk about the glue tonight. We're going to talk about this foundational principle. The principle is found in verse 10. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Throughout this sermon, this first sermon of our four sermons that we will share together, I want to give you five sub-propositions regarding the kingdom of God as Jesus taught it to his disciples and those apostles there on the side of that mountain. Proposition number one for your consideration. You cannot have the outward demonstration of the kingdom without the inward reality of the kingdom. Prepare us for the truth. Jesus uses language with which we can identify. Notice how he starts this proposition. Our Father. Our Father. My son Winston, who is now the father of three. I remember when we lived in Nashville, Tennessee. We had a two-story house. And one day I just left the den where I'd been sitting doing something. And I was going through the house down the hallway on my way to the kitchen to get me something to drink. And I heard the pitter-patter of tiny feet from upstairs. And then I heard those feet hit the first level of the staircase that led downstairs. It would come down and hit a landing, and then you turned right to come the rest of the way down the house. And as I passed by those stairs, I looked up, and there was Winston. He hit that landing, and then he turned and saw me coming by, and he said, "Hey, Dad, catch!" And he leaped into my arms. Put his arms around my neck and whispered in my ear, "I love you." And then he jumped down to continue his make-believe adventure. That's what we're asked to do. We're asked to leap from our own independence into the arms of Jesus and tell him that we love him so that he might put inside of us the kingdom. The kingdom that he is Lord over. He says, "I want you to realize once and for all that you were not built to be independent. You were built to be dependent on God." Now, the moment you take this jump of unconditional surrender, you're going to experience the next thing, the hallowedness of his name. And the very nature of Jesus will begin to flow through you because you surrendered to him and now you embrace him. And when you go through the Word of God, you're going to recognize what this hallowedness is all about. It will evolve into abundant living. And Jesus talked to that. He said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I have to wonder tonight how many people who profess Christianity have never given him their life. Confess their sins, yes, but have they ever really given him their life? And then Jesus says, just in case you're not getting this, let me put it in another way. Thy kingdom come. You're not long into the gospel writings until you find this kingdom theme weaving its way throughout the entirety of the gospels. And you will discover that this kingdom theme was very important to Jesus. And if it indeed was important to Jesus, it ought to be important to us. And I want you to consider with me tonight the fact of the kingdom. And then false kingdoms. And then we'll finish by finding the kingdom. No one should be surprised that Jesus is talking about the kingdom. As you follow his life, it becomes apparent that Jesus is obsessed with his Father's kingdom. The first sermon that Jesus ever preached was this: repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's what Jesus called the good news. If you study the scripture, you'll find that he took 70 of his disciples and he sent them out to do what? To preach the good news of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. At least 100 times, Jesus brings up the subject of the kingdom of God. And in Matthew chapter 13, we don't have time to go through it and itemize it all, but just let me give you the high points. In Matthew chapter 13, he deals with the kingdom through parable teaching. He says, in essence, I don't want there to be any mistakes when it comes to understanding my kingdom, what it's all about, how it's going to affect and infect your life. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower. Remember the parable of the sower? When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. Matthew 13, 24. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom, is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. Verse 31 of the same chapter, he told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. He's talking about his kingdom. There are all of these parables trying to get this into their minds and into their hearts. He says in verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it into 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. He's trying to get us to understand that his kingdom is going to saturate your life. In verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's hidden in a field, and a man finds the treasure and then goes and sells everything that he has so that he might have enough money to buy the field. Why? Because he recognizes the value of the treasure. May we never lose sight of the value of his kingdom. In verse 47, he says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. It's for everyone. It's not for a select few. His kingdom is to reign in our hearts and in our lives. Now, here's sub-proposition number two. Your personal Christian journey, an intimate relationship with Jesus, hangs on proper understanding of his kingdom. Jesus is saying, I want my kingdom established in your life. You're dealing with strong spiritual truth when you talk about his kingdom. You say, well, then just what is this kingdom that you're talking about? What was the kingdom that he was talking about? What's the essence of that? What's the ingredients of his kingdom? You talk about the face of the kingdom. What is it? Do you remember a man by the name of H.G. Wells? H.G. Wells, who was not a Christian, but he was a well-known author and historian. And he was studying through the history of mankind. And as he studied through the history of mankind, he came to the material regarding Jesus and the spiritual footprint that Jesus had made in history. And he realized that he had to deal with the claim of Christ and his teaching. And as H.G. Wells, a non-Christian, studied the kingdom of God and how Jesus taught it, he created this definition regarding the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is nothing more or less than the replacement of man's order with God's order. We would do well to memorize that. It's the replacement of man's order with God's order. The kingdom of God is the replacement of man's rulership with the rulership of Jesus in our lives. The replacement of a man or a woman doing his or her thing, well, I'm doing my thing, with Jesus doing his thing in and through us. It's a replacement of a person being in charge and calling the shots with Jesus now being in charge and calling the shots. It's a replacement of a person dictating to Jesus And now that person allowing Jesus to dictate to them. When that happens, the minute that happens, his kingdom has arrived. It's there.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so that we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches: in the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills; in the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky; in the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury; in the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria; and here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.